This morning we are starting a brand new series called Open Up. And this is going to be the series that takes us right to the AGM as prep for some of the things that we want to share, some of the vision and the hopes and dreams we have for 2021. This is not a statement of protest, although if the government sees that and is convicted by it, I'm not opposed to that. But I am not like running around with a sign saying, open everything up. I am praying for good news on Friday, so join me in that as there's supposed to be an announcement on Friday about some changes, and I've already seen some cases where things are opening up, so this is good news. This is moving in the right direction, and but in the midst of everything, I have continually come back to the fact that we have been blessed as a church by God's favor. We have had leniencies where everyone else got locked down. We have been able to operate when others couldn't. We have had God's favor on us this whole time, and we have not stopped getting the word out to everyone who could hear and tune in and find us. And so I praise God for that. But I am also ready to have more people in the building. Last week we were full, and that's awesome. It's exciting when the COVID version of full, mind you. Not anywhere near full. But the flip side of it is when we're full, then people who are here feel bad because there may be someone who wanted to be here and couldn't, so they don't come back the next week. And everyone who couldn't get in, they're like, well, I'm not going to bother trying, and they don't try. And so then we get a small crowd, which I love all of you. I'm glad you're here. Praise God for each and every one of you. But so we just need more chairs. That's all I'm saying. But as we are moving into this Open Up series, the thought is we've had a year of lockdown, we've had a year of restriction, we've had a year of don't do this, don't do that, close your doors, lock people out, isolation, and I could go on and on. And so I think our response as a church is we may be restricted in some ways, but we can open up in others. We don't have to be completely restricted in our lives. We don't have to be restricted in our hearts. We don't have to be restricted. And I can't help but think of Galatians 5, where God talks about how, or Paul writes how, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control, against such things there's no law. There are things about life, and there are even more things about our faith, that even as parts of life start to get shut down, there are opportunities for us to open up and share even more. And so next 4 weeks we're going to talk about how can we, in a day where so much is restricted, how can we actually open up more and share more and be more open? And I'm going to start off with this question to kick it all off. I've never had mine do that on my screen. Have you ever been around someone who was hiding something from you and you knew it? And how did you handle it? Have you ever been around? Obviously, the answer is yes. I think we've all been around someone like that. Everyone online, don't name names, but you can share an instance. But have you ever been around someone who was hiding something from you, and how did you handle it? As I was thinking about this question, I had a mentor in youth ministry who said that every youth pastor comes with a built-in lie detector. So I always knew, and it's true, I always knew when someone was lying to me. I always knew when someone was hiding something from me. And it still functions, which is good, because I have children, and one day they'll be teenagers, and I'll need the built-in lie detector. but as I was, the story I can think of with this is the tables were turned. So I also played dumb really well. Okay, so if I know something I'm not supposed to, I can play dumb, and I'm one of the best at it. Well, I was having lunch with a pastor, and we were just discussing stuff, and we came to a mutual friend. I wasn't sure if he knew that he was mutual, and the pastor was telling me a story, of which I knew all the details already, and so I just played dumb, and halfway through the conversation, the pastor stopped talking. He's like, Matt, I invented playing dumb, and you're pretty good at it. So at first I was like, oh, thanks. Oh, wait, I just got called out. It was like the ultimate, like, hey, oh, that was humbling. Anyways, so he knew I was hiding stuff. He knew that I, anyways. And the reason I start with this question is when we know someone is hiding something, when we're talking to somebody and they're holding back, or they're just, and whether it's something innocent like a surprise birthday party or something that they have done that may offend us or hurt us, it is really hard for us to be open with someone who isn't being completely open with us. It is hard to be transparent when we don't feel the transparency is going both ways. And the reason I started here is because I get the impression that sometimes we have this approach towards God. And this starts off from Genesis 3, right? This is the very first problem the serpent calls out. Genesis 3, verse 1, "Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, 'Did God actually say, you shall not eat of any tree in the garden?'" Okay, so the serpent's calling out, "Did God actually say this?" "And the woman said to the serpent, 'We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden. But God said, you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die.' But the serpent said to the woman, 'You will not die.'" Okay, so here comes the doubt. Here comes the deception of the serpent. "For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." You will be like God, knowing good and evil. The serpent has now cast doubt in the mind of the woman, and as we find out, the man is standing there too, listening to all of this. And the serpent has successfully laid this thought in their mind, saying that God's holding back on you. God isn't giving you the knowledge that you deserve. God's not giving you the wisdom that you deserve. He is holding out. And sometimes we kind of perpetuate this idea, because there are times in life when we are coming to God and we're looking for answers. God, I need healing. God, I need answers about how to deal with this individual. Or maybe it's, God, I'm looking for some justice. I'm being mistreated by somebody at work. I'm being mistreated by my neighbor. I'm being, I'm not going there. But like, we could be constantly seeking God and constantly looking for these answers, and there are times where we don't get the answers the way we want, or we don't get the answers that we want, and somebody will come along and say, "Well, God only gives us what we need," which is good advice, but it also sets us up for this belief that God's holding out on us. Why would he only give us what we need? Why can't he give us everything? Why can't he give us more than what we need? Why can't, if he talks about an abundant life, why doesn't he pour it all out on us? And so it feels like God's holding back. It feels like God is withholding. He's not being completely open with us. And then without even realizing it, we have now fallen into this trap that, well, maybe I can't really be open with God. Maybe I can't be open with others. And maybe because if God's holding out on me, maybe... That brings me to my second question. I know, two questions. Bang, bang, boom. Have you ever felt like God was holding out on you? And what caused you to feel that way? And I listed off a few. Maybe, like I said, maybe you're looking for justice because somebody's mistreating you. Maybe you're looking for healing because you're sick and you know that only God can move and bring the healing that you need. Whatever it is, there's a long list of possibilities of what it could be. But have you ever felt, that God was holding out on you? And the reality is that God doesn't hold out on us. God doesn't call us to be transparent without going out of his way and setting the example of what it means to be transparent. God has revealed himself in his totality to us through his word. This morning, I'm going to read a passage. It's not out of the scripture. it is actually out of the statement of fundamental truths that we as a church hold to. Now, this statement was created, not by myself, because I'm not that smart, by a whole host of theological professors from the Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada have been putting this together for years. They've been refining it. They've been fine-tuning it. They've been changing the language to go with the culture. This is our document. And if you don't know, the Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada is our group. They're our umbrella. They provide leadership for us and for a bunch of churches around Canada and actually across the world. But I want to read to you their statement about how significant Scripture is for us. What is the Bible's role, not only for us as individuals, but us as a church and the universal church? Anyways, and we're going to read it at the membership meeting. So here is a little highlight for what we're going to be going through at the membership meeting. Okay, there we go. I might lose attendance over this, but I won't. This is good. So here we go. This is what it says. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, by which we understand the whole Bible to be inspired in the sense that holy men of God were moved by the Holy Spirit to write the very words of Scripture. The whole Bible. Divine inspiration extends equally and fully to all parts of the original writings. The whole Bible in the original is therefore without error, and as such is infallible. There's no wrong, there is completely reliable, absolutely supreme and sufficient in authority in all matters of faith and practice. Now this next part I want you to watch very closely. It gets really small. The Bible does not simply contain the Word of God, but is in reality the complete revelation and very Word of God inspired by the Holy Spirit. The complete revelation and very Word of God inspired by the Holy Spirit. Christian believers today receive spiritual illumination to enable them to understand the Scriptures, but God does not grant new revelations that are contrary or additional to the inspired biblical truth. Okay, there's a lot there. But the big thing I wanted you to see is the fact that this is the complete revelation. God has not held back His truth. He's not held back His wisdom. He's not held back His character. Everything that we can know about God is found right here in His Word. And as I was preparing, I was reminded of a moment back in Bible school. Now, I think I've said this a couple times, but my biblical school training, my Bible school degree, is actually in biblical studies. So I took 4 years, and this was my primary textbook. 4 years of study, day in, day out. I learned a language to help me study it. And one of the traps I fell into, there's a couple traps. A, after my first year, I came home and thought I was an expert. That didn't annoy anybody. there's a few fights over that one. Anyone in Bible school listening, don't do that. Do not come back thinking that you're smarter than everybody, especially your pastor, because that doesn't do you any favors. It just causes unnecessary frustration. So as the years went on, like I said, I learned Hebrew. I learned everything I could about this book. And it was my last semester. I was sitting in the most advanced biblical studies class that I could take as a Bible school student. And I remember sitting halfway through the semester, listening to my prof just flex his muscles of biblical knowledge and just being blown away by what he knew. And I realized that I had done a complete 180. I spent 4 years studying this book, dissecting it in ways that, as a new believer, I didn't even know could be dissected. And by the end of the 4 years, I actually felt dumber than when I started. Because it seemed like the deeper I went, the more I studied, the more I looked into this, the more background checking I did, there were layers upon layers upon layers of this book that the deeper I got, the more there was to know, and there wasn't any possible chance I was going to know it all. And I very quickly realized how the prof that was teaching me had been at Briarcrest for a very long time, teaching for very long, and as part of his study, he focused on one book. And he'd been teaching at the school longer than I'd been alive. And he said that in that one book, it was one of the prophets, in that one book, in all the years of him studying, he was still learning new stuff. he could not get to the bottom of that well. And so he just kept going back to it, studying it more. And the big thing that I realized is the fact that when it comes to being open and when it comes to wondering if God's holding back on us, God never holds back on us with his truth. He never holds back with revealing himself. We can't handle the amount of truth and knowledge and wisdom that God has poured out in us. We will never get to the bottom of this book. We will never come back to this book and have it fully mastered, because there are hundreds of people who've been trying their entire lives to get to the bottom of it, and they can't. And this is what sets this book apart from every other book we could ever read, because this isn't just words on a page. This is a spiritual book that requires the inspiration and guidance of the Holy Spirit to unpack what's really going on. There are a lot of people who have read this book just because it's a textbook or just because it was available to them and had no impact, because the Holy Spirit wasn't leading and guiding them to the deeper treasures and the deeper truths and the gold and the jewels that are found in here. That's why we can spend our entire lives as a Christian coming back, reading the Bible in a year and doing biblical devotions and doing all the stuff and never run out of things to learn. Because not only is this a book that requires the Holy Spirit to speak to us, this is the only book in the world that speaks back. This is the only book in the world that points on things that need to be pointed on. This is the only book in the world that touches on things that need to be wrongs that need to be righted and character flaws that need to be corrected. And this is the only book that can be a mirror to our entire life. And this is just a fraction of who God is. And I say it's only a fraction because we are so limited in our understanding of who God is. Our brains would explode if we tried to understand who God was in his entirety. There, one of the things that we learn as we were studying this is that when we talk about the hand of God and the arm of God and the eyes of God, the reality is that we don't have words to describe God. No language in all of the world has words to describe God. He is beyond our even being able to communicate it, and so we use words that are familiar to help us understand. So we talk about the arms of God, even though God doesn't really have a body to have arms. We talk about the heart of God, and we talk about the mind of God, and yet we spend all of our years studying this and reading it, and every day we learn a little bit about who God is. And we learn a little bit about who we are in his eyes, and we learn a little bit about his plan, and we learn a little bit about God is not holding back on us. God has completely revealed himself to us. The problem is that we go back to the Garden of Eden scenario. We go back to the problem at the Garden of Eden, where we want the low-hanging fruit. We want the easy pickings. We just want the easy to grab, easy to understand stuff, and we're not always ready and willing to do the hard work to go deeper. This is what Paul was talking about, or the writer of Hebrews was talking about when he said, there's some of you that should be teachers, and yet you're still drinking spiritual milk. And what he was saying is you're still relying on others to digest the information found in that book, found in the scriptures, so that you can understand it instead of doing the hard work and finding the truths and the wisdom and everything for yourself. And the trap we fall into, and I talked about it last week, the trap I fall back into is reading this book like it's a textbook. Like it is something to be studied for head knowledge, not heart knowledge. Not as a spiritual book that is designed to be transformative. But that we all have our traps when it comes to God's word. We all have our pitfalls. For some, it's just we have our reading plan and we just get the check marks marked off. For some, it's just, I feel like I have to do it because that's what good people do, and I just open it and read it because that's what I'm supposed to do. And yet, Paul says this: all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. All of scripture is designed so that you can be complete. So you can be, and it says man because it uses, anyways, it's talking for everybody. That everyone, that the followers, that the believers in Christ, the believers of God, may be complete. We look for completion in so many different avenues, and yet the scripture says you just need this to be complete. You just need this to find fulfillment. You just need this. God is calling you to great things, and you feel like ill-equipped, get into the Word. God's calling you to a new adventure. You're going to a new, maybe you're going to a new work venture. You're going into a new chapter of life, and you feel ill-equipped, get into the Word. My challenge for you this week, and this is my, brings me to my third question, possibly. What are you going to get out of God's Word this week? How can you approach God's words differently this week? Instead of reading it like as you have to, instead of reading it because it's the right thing to do, instead of reading it because you've got a reading plan that needs to get the check marks, instead of reading it because whatever the litany of reasons is, what if we took the time, looked into this as though it was, not as though, looked into it because it is the complete revelation of God, because this is spiritual word on a offered to us for the fulfillment of our spirit, the building up of us, not as the manual of life that we just need to get dig into to find the answers, but because this is how God speaks to us. One of the things I think we forget when we're looking for God to speak to us is when God speaks to us in prayer and God speaks to us when we are in our quiet time with Him, He never says anything that that's contrary to this. God never contradicts Himself. He never says something that is going to trump this. And this is what sets the Bible apart. And this is what sets God apart as the one true God above anything else. There's a religion that will remain unnamed that actually wrote into their theology that if you're reading through and you find a contradiction, whatever the newest writing is trumps the old writing. Oh, that's convenient. That's an easy way to get rid of contradiction. And the amazing thing is that this book never contradicts itself. It's written over hundreds of years by different people, some kings, some slaves, some farmers, some educated, some uneducated, priests, and everyone from every walk of life has contributed to this. And most of them have had nothing to do with each other, and yet somehow it never contradicts itself. And anytime it looks like it's contradicting itself, it's actually what's called a paradox. It is two statements that somehow are true but seem contradictory, but they aren't. And that requires even more work to figure out how can these two things that look like they contradict each other actually be complementary. You'll never get to the bottom of this well. And so God calls us to be people of the Word, to be in this thing, digging into it, finding the good stuff. Try to get to the bottom. That's the challenge, is to, you might not be able to get, that people hear, oh, I can't get to the bottom, so why would I try? Because it's worth trying. It's worth digging into. It's worth looking for the bottom. It's worth looking for the deeper treasures and the deeper understanding. It is worth the hard work. I'm getting excited because I love this book. I love spending time on this book. I love seeing what God's going to teach me each and every time I open it up. But it's easy to forget that. It's easy for the pressures and the trials and the hardship of life to get in the way and become a distraction of this. But this is the one thing that each and every day, if you get into it, it is going to be a worthwhile venture each and every time you do it. I said a couple months ago, and I'll say it again, There was a study done I think it was done 2 years ago before everything went into lockdown. A whole bunch of Christians and non-Christians alike were surveyed, and they were asked to read this book, or how often do they read this book? And the survey was to see if this actually increased the quality of life. And what the study discovered is that everyone who read this book 0 to 3 times a week, okay? 0 to 3, no effect. Absolutely no impact on their life, absolutely no change in their mental health, the clarity of their thinking, nothing, just pfft. But everyone who read it 4 times a week or more, for some reason 4 was the magic number, I'm sure there's some there's something about the number that's probably significant, but everyone who read it 4 times or more, there was a drastic increase in positivity when it came to the outlook of life, came to their mental health, their spiritual health, their relational health, 4 times a week, and this thing radically changed people's lives. This is a life-changing book. This is how God opens himself up to us. We need to be in it, because if we want to know God, if we want to know ourselves, we want to know how the world really works, we need to get into it. I remember reading a great theologian from, I don't know how long ago it was, a guy by the name of Smith Wigglesworth. He was sitting in his coffee table, his son was visiting, and he was in his word as per normal, and his son was in his newspaper, and his son asked, "Why don't you ever read the newspaper, Dad? Why don't you ever see what's going on in the world?" Smith Wigglesworth goes, "Well, why don't you read an article to me, and I'll see how it lines up to this." At the time, I don't have all my facts together, but at the time there was a war on the horizon. The nation that Smith Wigglesworth lived in was on the verge of, was contemplating whether or not they were going to join the war, and and Smith Wigglesworth just happened to be in the passage that says, "Don't be afraid when you hear of wars and rumors of wars, because it just means that you're getting to the end of days." He says, "See, I don't need to read the newspaper. I already got it all right here." Everything. God did not hold back. We just have to be willing to go have a look and go find it. And as God has opened himself up to us through the pages of this book and through the times of prayer and through everything that's going on, as God opens himself up to us, he calls us to be open with him, to be open with other believers. As he opens himself and opens his heart and his will and his plan to us, and that's what we're going to spend the next number of weeks looking at, is as God has opened himself up to us, what are the ways that we maybe need to, maybe what are the ways that maybe in life we've locked down and it's time to open up? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you are an open God. I thank you that you are God who has, you've opened your heart up to us. You've opened your plan and your will, and you pour your love out on us fresh and new every single day, and we thank you for that. We thank you that you've given us your word through the obedience and the sensitivity of the biblical authors to put your word on page so that it could be captured forever, and that we can go to this book and we can, because it is a spiritual book, it never stops revealing itself, it never stops speaking to us, it never stops changing hearts and lives. God, we thank you. We thank you that you've opened yourself up to us in this way. I pray, God, for each and every one of us, that as we go to your word throughout the week, that we would approach it differently. God, that you would change our approach. You change the way we think about it so that we can approach it the way it deserves, with full honor, with full respect, with full urgency to find the treasures that are found within. Because as we find the treasures and as our life is transformed by your word, God, may the lives of people around us see it and be transformed right along with us. May we dive into your scripture that we may be complete, equipped for every good work. God, we love you, give you all our praise and thanks for your goodness and your openness. In Jesus' name I pray. Everybody said, amen.